Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to visit are expressed here, and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Constance Cumby, who's a good friend. And of course, she lives back there in Michigan, in Detroit. Apparently, things are pretty brisk back there right now.
Your call did not go through.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to call Constance back again. We seem to have lost her. So I'm going to let our producer go ahead and see if we can get Constance on the line. But we're going to talk about the other dimension. You know, there are a lot of things that go on today that really don't make any sense. And if you study what's happening financially, our leaders are making the wrong decisions as far as correcting the financial crisis that we're in today. And they're making that same mistake over and over again. Everything they're actually doing makes things worse, so it really doesn't make any sense. And then when you study what's going on, you realize that this whole financial crisis has been created, and we won't get into that, how we will talk about how it was done. That'll be the subject of my next newsletter, but we have to ask, why would rational people have created a financial crisis that's destroying the financial foundation of the entire world? Who would possibly gain from that? And, of course, if you look at it from a logical point of view, well, so you say, well, yes, some people are going to get very rich over this, but is there possibly another motivation? Are there organizations that really believe that they will be able to utilize this financial crisis to bring about a one-world government and introduce a one-world leader? Are there really people with great finance and power working behind the scenes that influence the organizations I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness? Do they have an agenda? Well, to answer that question for you, Constance Cumby. Good evening, Constance. How are things back there in Detroit?
I'm fine. I wish the weather, we were praying for more global warming than we're getting.
Well, obviously Al Gore isn't doing a very good job.
Oh, no, he's doing a great job. He's just, if he'd only end global cooling as fast and efficiently as he ended global warming.
Right. I'm sorry. Well, I hope things will get a little bit better there. Would you be able to get home tonight?
I don't know. I got stuck a couple of times going home last night, and we had several inches of fresh snow today.
All right, fine. Well, Constance is at her office back there in Detroit, her law office, and was good enough to come on to be with us this evening to bring us up to date on the things that are happening, because there really are people out there. If you read the writings of the people affiliated with the Lucis Trust and Cher and Benjamin Krem, they will tell you that this financial crisis is a wonderful opportunity to bring about the world leader, to introduce the world leader who is going to transform the world forever. And people say that's crazy talk. But is it really crazy talk? Are there really people of great wealth who support these ideas? And, well, we'll let Constance develop that. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty to talk about the emergence, the coming world leader. And the recent article in the Wall Street Journal that announced his coming very, very soon. Constance, you pick up the story there.
Okay. Well, I started tracking the New Age movement back in 1981, and I thought I saw some threads that would make it convenient for an Antichrist-type figure to come on the scene. And then when I discovered Benjamin Krem and his book, The Masters of Wisdom, The Reappearance of the Christ and His Executives, The Masters of Wisdom, and started poking at it, I thought I had spotted something that might be significant. I really wasn't sure. And then when I lost his book and was handed an invitation, printed brochure, saying that Unity, a very powerful church in the Detroit metropolitan area, was sponsoring Benjamin Krem to speak November 4th, 1981, I took it a little bit more seriously. And then I noticed a profusion of ads in New Age magazines saying, expect the Christ in the spring of 1982. In the spring of 1982, they spent $500,000 on a worldwide full-page newspaper ad saying, the Christ is now here, and they really thought their day of declaration and their, quote, emergence, unquote, was right around the corner. Now, nobody spends $500,000 without having an extremely serious purpose. And one of the things they were confident would not happen would be premature exposure in time for the Christian community to learn what was going on. In fact, Benjamin Krem would speak confidently that when the Christian community learns what's happening, they're going to gnash their teeth, they're going to be extremely angry. And they really were operating under a delusion that only they could understand their garbage. And what they forgot was God dispenses wisdom, and if he wants somebody to understand this thing and report it for what it is, it's going to happen, and every power of hell will not be able to stop it. And that's exactly what happened. They had some exposure, and they went slinking back into their holes. And books that they had written in 1981, one book was the Armageddon Script by Peter Lemasurier, which described in great specificity New Age plans to trot a phony Messiah out and convince the world this is the world Messiah, that he's Christian, Jesus to the Jews, Jesus returned to the Christians, the Messiah to the Jews and Christians, that he's Krishna to the Hindus and the Imam Mahdi to the Muslims, so on and so forth.
You hold that thought right now. We're going to have to bring other stations back on board here. But our guest, of course, is Constance Cumby. We'll be talking about the emergence. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Constance got started studying the New Age movement back in 1980, and certainly by 82, I think, was somewhere in there. The people on the other side, and there is another side, these people of great wealth and power, spent $500,000 running full-page ads in many major magazines and newspapers, announcing, of course, that the Christ was about to appear. This is not the Jesus Christ that we worship. This is the Christ. He was, of course, go ahead.
There was a little bit more than just that. Academic books were being reshaped. There were conferences were being held. They went through a cycle of conferences. They were actively recruiting all the world's major faiths to work on this agenda under the theory that to reshape the political network to fulfill social responsibilities, you had to bring swing religion into shape. And one name that kept popping up was Dr. Richard Falk. Now, Israel just recently banned him. He was the UN representative to India, to Israel. And this is interesting to me because his name has been there right from the beginning of my New Age research in every last circle I've poked in. He also was a close personal friend of a former professor of mine who did support my work. And Dr. Wesley Gould was a professor of international law. He was a Harvard PhD, as was Falk. And they were peers, comrades, and were invited to some of the same conferences. And when I went over my work with Dr. Gould in 1981, late 81, he ran down to his basement, and he came up with a book on the New World Order by Richard Falk. And he said that this had not looked right to him. Wes had turned very pale, said, you're right, this is Nazism. He said, I don't know how I or any other academic ever missed it. But he said he had questions about that book when he read it. He thought it was way over the top. And he said he sat there with Richard Falk at lunch one day with a foursome, and he said, come on, Dick. He said, you're not going to tell me you believe what's in this book. And he said that Richard Falk, who was frankly known for selling his qualifications to the highest bidder and not intellectual integrity, said, no, Wes, I'm not going to tell you that, but I will tell you this. If you had been paid to write that book, what I had been paid to write that book, you would have written the very same thing. Well, the name keeps popping up, and they're talking about various levels on this thing. There's the financial level, there's the redistribution level, and there's the religious level. And the rationale for the religious level was it was necessary to control the other levels, because basically we're looking at a control freaks revolution. And they're motivated. There's an ideology in it. Some folks are motivated by money. Other folks are honestly true believers, such as Wayne Peterson. He appears to be the truest of believers in this New Age Messiah. But one thing is certain, they are back on the march now. And a movement that appears to be backing them, but at an extremely sophisticated level, kind of a radical center movement called communitarianism, is marching lockstep. I interviewed Nikki Rapana, somebody who's been deeply researching them for some time, and she said they're frantic. They want to pull it together. They're convinced that they're going to have a whole new ball game under the current incoming administration, that they're going to blossom. And the same thing, the 1982 dream that their Christ is now here, and that things would happen in the 1980s as far as Israel was concerned, have now been reinterpreted by New Age sources to be mean that that each 7 years that they had counted on in the 80s now meant 6 times 7, and that it was 42 years starting with 1967, the year that Israel won the Six-Day War and took the territory. And so 6 times 7 equals 42. So their new target date that they hope to be working for, and what all this preparation, psychologically, physical, now is about for the New Age community, is 2009. And big money is going. That's where the global governance is going. They are absolutely convinced that they have to have things in place by 2009, and that they're now their big period that they're looking at is 2009, 2010, 2011. And many of them are looking very seriously at the Mayan calendar, World's End 2012. One New Age book I have on my shelf says World's End 2009, and normally I would pay no attention at it whatsoever, except that this book is published by J.P. Tarcher and co-published by Penguin Press. Tarcher was Marilyn Ferguson's publisher of The Aquarian Conspiracy, and it is a very serious New Age publisher. He doesn't publish anything that he thinks is lightweight. He has put his money where his mouth is on his New Age beliefs, and Jeremy Tarcher has his money where his mouth is on World's End 2009 by Peter Lorre.
And I think that, of course, this whole thing is, are we on the verge of establishing a world government? Are they going to use this financial crisis to say, look, we can no longer have nationalism. What we need is a new world international financial order. What we need is a new world global currency. What we need, of course, is something regulation from the international level over the individual countries so that we can never have another financial crisis like this that will impoverish the majority of the people in the United States and in Europe and in so many countries throughout the world. People who are billionaires in Russia now are simply millionaires. People who are billionaires in Las Vegas now, some of them are simply millionaires, and some of them are going to be down to their last Rolex watch before this is all over. Fabulous amounts of money are simply disappearing, and I believe this is an engineered crisis. I believe it's created to justify their ultimate plan for the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Ruler. So pick this
story
up. Certainly,
they have written, and people who have studied them said that their illuminated politics could not come into place unless we did have a global crisis of this type. They have been talking. Javier Solana has been talking up the G20. Why a G8, a G7, G8? Why not have a G10, a G20? And they certainly have been very confident about it. But the Lucis Trust and Share International, which is Benjamin Krem's group, have been saying that their new Messiah will make his emergence after this global financial crunch has taken place. And they were bold enough again to run major press releases, which appeared in some very major publications, including at least the internet edition of the Wall Street Journal. I did not look at the printed edition to see if it did or did not appear there. I have noticed in the last year that there have been ads from time to time appearing in publications such as Mother Jones Magazine, but certainly they are out there now with a new note of anticipation. And Javier Solana said it was absolutely imperative that their global governance mechanisms be in place by 2009. The Brookings Institution has said that likewise. And the folks that we looked at with the Fellowship Foundation in Washington, D.C., Doug Coe's group, I noted that one of the founders, the financial funders of the Global Forum and State of the World Forums, was the Three Swallows Foundation, the same group that funds the Institute of Noetic Sciences and International Foundation, Doug Coe, at the same time, the Prayer Breakfast Network.
That's also known as the family. But why don't you mention, it was just about 10 days ago, 11 days ago, anyway, it was a week ago last Friday, when certainly in the Market Watch, which is part of the Internet edition of the Wall Street Journal, ran an article talking about the fact that the Messiah is coming, but of course not the Christian Messiah. There's
another
Messiah.
Well, what they said was that there was going to be some type of bright manifestations in the sky, and that a star would be unusually bright. Now, my friend Dorothy Margraff thinks maybe they were obliquely referring to the sun, which they said was visible by day and by night, because the sun is a star, and who knows what kind of backhanded occult reference that has, or if they're truly expecting a different type of star or sky phenomenon. But they said that this was going to happen, and Maitreya would begin his active emergence, but he would be invited to do major interviews in the United States, a major interview, but not under the name Maitreya, under whatever his civi name is. Maitreya is their concept that whoever it is possessed by this, it becomes the vehicle for this demon Maitreya to possess. I like to call it Vitreya. But anyway, they say that this is going on and starting, and they're pointing to all these things with some satisfaction. And they have been saying they're going to happen for a long time. And suddenly the money disappears with swaps and derivatives, and it looks like the whole economy is being caved in. Joan Vion, who I respect highly, has said basically this is a coup and they're deliberately carting assets out of the United States because that's one thing that's needed to usher in the world government, which she's convinced is here de facto, and that they're making it through these steps de jure by law and not just by fact.
And I said, I actually went to the website, as Constance had suggested. I have the article. Anybody wants to read it? Why, we can send me a factual copy. I'm not in a position to email it, but I can certainly send you a copy if you want it. It's fascinating to read, but you can certainly go up on the Internet and look up Constance Cumby, mm-hmm. and then a Wall Street Journal and Maitreya. That's what I did.
The way I found it, Dr. Stan, was... I just decided, I don't know why, I decided to see what they were up to, and I just, for the fun of it, somebody called and said, what's going on with Maitreya? And I, you never know how much of that's diversion and how much of that is intense. So I put it in, and I did a news search and not just the Internet search, and I was stunned to come up with the top reference, the article about the Christmas miracle, and that it was appearing on the Wall Street Journal's official website.
Well, of course, I got it simply by going to Google and Googling in your name and Wall Street Journal and Maitreya. And so it's out there, and if you can't find it, we'll be glad to provide it for you. But
there was another Christmas miracle. Paul Proctor, who also writes for News with You, as you and I do sometimes, his article is number one in the world on the news now on Maitreya. So I guess we've gotten our version of the news out there, too.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. And, of course, if you'd like to see Paul Proctor's article, that would be at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com. And certainly, fortunately, we have alternative means of getting...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
Constance Cummings' material is very accurate. The people on the other side are announcing that the time is very short, because they've said this before. They announced the coming, you know, of the Christ back in, I think, the 1920s or so, when Krishnamurti was supposed to take over. They announced this in the early 80s when they said the Christ would be here. I just hope that the third time is not the charm. Well, Constance, certainly you're in touch with people throughout the world. You've been putting the message out, and other people have picked up your material, and Paul Proctor has certainly got his material on the coming of Maitreya, you know, far and wide. What sort of response are we getting from the average individual who hears this story? Is it just another ho-hum, or it could never happen?
Some people are very startled, and other people that should be paying some attention are kind of ho-hum. It's just hard to predict. Some people, it says it scares them to death, and they want to run to the nearest church and make their peace with God. And other people just go, oh, bunch of kooks.
Well, I think that the important thing is that people do rush to the church and make their peace with God.
Exactly.
And understand that's
what it's all about.
Right. That's why I do what I do 5 hours a day, and that's why I know why you do so much. And, of course, Constance has a radio program, that's heard nationwide, worldwide, on the Internet and on stations across America. And she's out there, on a regular basis sounding the alarm just like we are. So, and I think that people, probably more than any time that I can remember, and I've been at this for 46 years, I think people are beginning to listen. They know something's wrong. They're looking for answers, and my job is to educate my listeners so that they can tell other people about what's going on. And of course, most people are interested in the stock market. They're interested in the fact that they've lost 30, 40, maybe as much as 50% of their life earnings with the plunge in the stock market and the plunge in the value of their homes, and certainly, the collapse of so much of our society. People are losing their jobs. They're looking for answers. Why is it happening? And I think we can tell them financially what's happening, but if we don't approach it from the spiritual point of view, none of this really makes sense, because the financial collapse we're seeing today could not have happened without a tremendous amount of help from people in very high places in our government, people who I suspect are tied into what I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness, which is founded in the occult. Well, Constance, you pick up the story, because people hear me talking all the time.
Okay. Well, they are making some very big, some very fast moves, and the ones that perhaps look a little bit more sensationalist to us are the ads, the ad saying that their Christ is about ready to make his emergence. What's going on behind the scenes that isn't quite as visible? The financial crunch is apparent to all of us. There are some other things taking place. The big communitarian network. And I discovered tonight in my own interviews that a project which calls for basically, it's a total tracking program that the communitarians have been putting forth and piecemealing and making it look like it's something very good and very beneficial for everybody, actually is a total tracking, a total profiling move. And I was told that I have not had a chance to verify it yet, but this program was co-founded by Gorbachev and then some communitarian figures. Now, Gorbachev, according to Wayne Peterson at least, is a very true believer in this Maitreya the Christ, and that ties in with what Barbara Marx Hubbard said in the 1980s and 1988 when she spoke at Unity Temple in Seattle, Washington, and she said in the United States, the higher up you go in politics, perhaps the less likely folks are to be involved in this. She said in Russia, the higher up you go in politics, the more likely folks are to be involved in this. And it wasn't too long after that that Gorbachev left and took up a new career in the United States and is now one of the New Age leaders of the world. And according to Wayne Peterson, he is a fervent believer in this Maitreya the Christ.
And, of course, are you referring to Wayne Peterson's book, Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary People?
Yes.
And, in fact, we do carry that book. We think it's an important book. And Wayne Peterson was actually recruited in this movement by a man named David Rockefeller. And of course,
yes, he met him when he was in college, according to the book, but what's interesting is he talks about a large group of influential people who settled near him in Henderson, Nevada, near a suburb, I understand, of Las Vegas. And he also thought his career as a former State Department diplomat and also as a Fulbright Scholar administrator.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment with this incredible, incredible story. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Of course, our guest is Constance Cumby. And Constance, go ahead. You're talking about Wayne Peterson, who really is a fascinating individual, and most people have no idea about the influence he has.
Well, he wasn't the only major New Age figure that had a big-time career at the State Department. Another one was John Graham, who had Project Giraffe. I don't have no idea if he's still around or not, but Wayne Peterson was a U.S., was a State Department diplomat, and then ran the Fulbright Scholarship Program, which dispenses, quote, friend, unquote, people like to joke and refer to him as your buddy, Javier Solana was a Fulbright scholar. And Wayne Peterson administered that program, and he has his neck stuck out all over the place, as does Buddy Piper, I think it was Piper Aircraft, who I actually ended up debating against his will on a local radio station, and was very angry and knew about my previous work and said sarcastically I didn't know I was going to have to share airtime with Constance. He was just furious and asked me, well, Constance, just how long have you been coming against the Christ? And I said, well, at least 15 years. That was 15 years ago. It was 1981 when I discovered the full existence of this and knew exactly what I was looking at. But there are some very big money, some people who have invested in this, and they have taken a course now of printing books and a propaganda drive, an open, shameless propaganda drive to popularize global governance and to bring it on the scene as quickly as possible. And this financial crisis, they say, is the one that's going to put it over the top, and that now this will lead the world into the 21st century. But interestingly, too, they are saying that nothing is going to escape. Now, the program that I learned about in Seattle, there were two concerns that the communitarian movement, which is part of this scene, had about our Constitution. So there needs to be a balancing of interests, so some freedoms have to go in the interest of balancing. And the two freedoms they were especially interested in getting rid of were Fourth Amendment and Fifth Amendment. And most particularly, the intelligence was, they were extremely interested in ways they could get access to people's home to be able to go inside and start profile. And they are tracking, and they're tracking just like the legendary Santa Claus tracks who's naughty and nice, but they're tracking who's going to support, who's going to oppose, and what type of opposition you may expect from them.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Constance says, of course, these people are involved in tracking people. Those of you who haven't read Catherine Albrecht's work, on the spy tips or her, she has another book, of course, on spy tips, but it's designed for Christians. That, of course, has been forced out of print at the present time. It's not available. But, of course, there's no question that they intend to track everybody. The military is actually preparing dossiers on every citizen in the United States. If you doubt that, let me suggest you go ahead and get the book Fixing Intelligence by General William Odom, Lieutenant General William Odom, who was head of NSA, and he asked that question in his book. He can't tell you what the NSA is doing, but he can ask the question, should the Defense Department be collecting dossiers on American citizens? Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, they are. They've got dossiers on you. They know every place you go, every time you take money out of the bank, everything you buy. They've got your picture. They've actually went around and bought up the pictures from the Department of Motor Vehicles in states across the country and lied to justify getting those pictures. Well, before we go on, Constance, I want you to get your website out, and I want you to tell people how they can get in touch with your information.
My blogspot, which has an very, very active forum on these issues at all times, we have incredible participation over there, is www.worldwideweb.com/blogspot, that's spelled blogspot.com. And if you can't remember all that and you have access to Google, just Google Cumbie, Cumbey, and that will probably come up your top hit, and then just click on the link and you'll be there. But we have an active forum going on in the comments section, which actually has turned out to be quite an online forum, and we have lots of links to lots of people doing some very excellent research on this.
All right, fine. Now, what about your radio program? How can people listen to that?
I am on the radio, internet radio, twice live every Tuesday and every Thursday. I think probably this Thursday is Christmas Day, so there will probably be reruns. But Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time. I think it's probably 4 o'clock Alaska time. And the 7 o'clock Mountain time, Mountain time, 6 o'clock Central time, and or vice versa. 6 o'clock Central time, 7 o'clock Mountain time, 8 o'clock Pacific time, and that is Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we've had some lively guests. Joan Vian was with us the other day. We had incredible participation. Today we had Nikki Rapona, who has done just awesome, unbelievable research on the communitarian projects. And that's the parts of the puzzle I had not picked up, she had picked up. And there were some interesting folks networking with her, one being the Anti-Animal Tracking League of Alaska, which I think Catherine Albrecht helped bring to public attention.
Yes, Catherine does an amazing job. I got a lot of great information. Well, our telephone number, if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to talk to Constance, if you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Is this movement real? Yes, you go up on the website. You can certainly go to the Lucis Trust and get the material. I certainly notice that, every time I talk about some of their material, why they take it down off their website, but we have so much of it, and I certainly one of the most interesting little pamphlets they put out, and they asked to have it distributed with something called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, where they describe the plan. And when they talk about the plan, it's with a capital P. And, of course, this is the ultimate plan that's being enacted today. And they will tell you, they have their people planted in every nation throughout the world, in education and in government and in finance. And I think today we can see the end result of their people being planted in finance. But if you'd like to see, not what I say, but what, of course, the people from the dark side say, and because there really is a dark awakening out there, of course, we'd be glad to send you a copy of that little pamphlet from the Lucis Trust entitled The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. And if you read it, you realize the spiritual hierarchy really, according to them, rule the world, and of course they are able to influence men, knowingly or unknowingly, to carry out their purposes and goals. So there's a tremendous amount of money behind this whole thing, and the average individual has no idea that they even exist.
Dr. Stan, we found something else the other day, and knowing how the New Agers communicate, several of us are more than a little bit disturbed by a European Space Agency mission that we found. And it's if you Google just CREM, ESA, and Triumph, T-R-I-U-M-F, you'll come up with an absolute, absolute incredible links that are, some of them are tied into CERN, that Atomic Space Agency in Europe. But they, this GALA, they have one called Gaia Triumph. And the acronyms in it are BODE. It's Gaia, it's Triumph, it's CREM 96, it's the European Space Agency, which is under Dr. Solana's remit, under his authority. And it's they basically are talking about solar triumphs, a number of things. Whether they're going to pull anything off or not, I don't know, but they are doing serious research. And at least under the delusion that they are going to be controlling these things.
And I think it's really so interesting that certainly here in the United States, NASA, strong occult ties into NASA. The first head of NASA was a man named Jack Parsons, as I remember. He was deeply involved with the occult, and the average individual has no idea about this. Why are we spending all this money trying to get to the Mars? I mean, how is that going to influence anything? What about, why are we spending all the money to go to the moon and the space station? And what is this really all about? And I think if you understand the strong occult forces working behind this whole thing, at least it explains, you know, why we're spending so much money. I'm not sure where it's all going, but they seem to know. Well, let's go to John, who's calling from Houston, Texas. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. John, do you have a question for Constance? John, are you there? Oh, let's see. All right, John, are you there?
You mentioned 1982 a few times, and I was just kind of interested. I was associated with the ministry back then, and really by about 1984, actually a lot of Christian ministries ended up kind of going down, you know, between 82 and that period of time.
Indeed, they did.
And so I just thought it was real interesting when you said that, and I'll just listen off the air, but I was just kind of curious if you could maybe go back.
Well, what was even more interesting, there were some real efforts to, many New Agers repented and fled from the New Age as though they had seen the devil. But at the same time, there was a concerted effort to tell Christians that nothing was happening and they should go back to sleep. And some of that came from convincing sources. And we didn't really learn what was behind all of it. We knew something was not right. But for 3 years, I stood almost alone. And then suddenly there were conferences, and they would usually try to poo-poo it or say the New Agers were not networked politically. One of the classic statements was the New Age movement got its start in 1978 and took its name from the name of a magazine. Well, no, it didn't get its start then. A New Age magazine was not named after the New Age movement was not named after the magazine.
Well,
so were told to go back to sleep, but nothing was happening. And there were important ministries that went down in the about 1985, 1986, I think it was 1988 that the Jimmy Swaggart ministry went down, 87 or 88.
I guess in a way our ministry, our founder died in 85, and it was a few years. So, yeah, it really is about the same time period, I guess.
But there was just so, but what we found out to our horror was that there was mutual funding, with the same folks funding the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which was your chief New Age group, which works actively with Benjamin Krem, works actively with David Spangler, the Luciferic Initiation, works actively with Barbara Marx Hubbard, who says we come to bring death. We do this for the sake of the planet. But the same person was the major funder of the Prayer Breakfast Network.
And that
explains a lot as to why there was such anxiety about silencing anything we had to say against the New Age movement.
And anybody who wants to know, of course, we have a four-tape set on the family, which is the people who put on the Prayer Breakfast, a great new four-tape set, tremendous insight into how they've infiltrated the Christian church, John. Hey, look, thanks for very much. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Well, I'll say one thing about our ministry. As long as we were being persecuted from the outside, everything stuck together, and everybody kind of got big, and disintegrated from within, in a way.
And that's exactly what they're doing. They've infiltrated the church. They've changed the music and the message of the church. A lot of people go to church and wonder why it doesn't seem quite like it used to. But they stay there because their friends are there. Of course, we have a great four-tape set on the purpose-driven church. We have another four-tape set on the apostate church. And we have a great DVD on Diaprax. Hey, thanks so much for calling. And let's go to Robert, who's calling from Iowa. Hi, Robert. How you doing?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan. I was just wondering if anybody knows anything about Robbie Zacharias. He has an organization called RZIM. He's an evangelist, highly educated, tremendous speaker, but I don't know. There's something shaky about it. I just wonder if anybody knew anything about it.
I can't say for sure. He's editing Walter Martin's former book, The Kingdom of the Cults, and of course Walter Martin had fought me so tremendously on the existence of the New Age movement, and then I look in that book, and obviously it was a lot of my material that's in there now. I made some phone calls, and a spokesman for him called me back, was polite enough, but I have no idea where it's coming from. I just am not prepared to say one way or the other.
I think Robbie Zacharias has a tremendous ministry. I think he's touched hearts across the world. I think he's an excellent apologist. We listen to him regularly, Robert. And so, although I'm not a theologian, I believe he has a wonderful, wonderful ministry.
Yeah,
but
he seems to have good literature, and I get some tapes and things. But you just get suspicious.
Well, you want to be suspicious, but my gut feeling is Robert E. Zacharias. We're lucky to have him out there on the front lines. But thanks very much for calling.
Thank you.
All right, finally, somebody called in on incidentally. I'll give out the number one more time. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But certainly somebody called in and wanted to know what the relationship was between Javier Solana and the New Age movement.
Well, the only New Age flag that Javier Solana has really flown publicly, and it's been a big one, is the Club of Rome. That one he's been very open about. Benjamin Krem has ran his picture on some of the Share International sites, and curiously, they ran it on the Spanish sites, not the American sites. Krem's, his official posture is anti-clerical, anti-religion. But interestingly enough, his mother, who he's tried to disavow and claim that his mother now, he's been very closed-mouthed about his ancestry, and suddenly his grandfather was his great-uncle. Well, the reason I believe he is doing that is that his mother, Neves Matthews, the writer, was the daughter of Salvador de Madariaga, Solana's grandfather, who he's now trying to say is his uncle, great-uncle. And she was exposed to Krishnamurti as a child. She was raised, her parents were Sufis, which would be Solana's grandfather was a Sufi. Lucis Trust and Alice Bailey's group, the Olga Freebie Captain, the Institute of Spiritual Research in Europe, attempted to have him speak there many times. He may well be the Spanish disciple that's referred to in Alice Bailey's books. This profile that's given in there of the person certainly fits Salvador de Madariaga. And if this is the case, then it could very well be, and it's looking to me like Javier Solana may have been groomed for an extremely important role from his very youth on, that he was expecting big things to happen to him in the early 80s, and he had to settle for a job in Spain instead. And now he's coming on big time. He came, there's been two people I've known of in politics who came literally out from nowhere and emerged very big time on the world scene, and one far lower profile than the other, but with more power, and that Javier Solana came out of nowhere, and within 10 days of November of 1995 had just unprecedented global power, and of course Barack Obama has come literally out of nowhere.
And, of course, he is backed totally by the Trilateral Commission. He surrounded himself with the people from the Trilateral Commission, people who attended the last Bilderberger meeting, people from the Council on Foreign Relations, and all of these organizations are deeply involved in the occult. This is what people don't understand. This is what energizes them.
Yeah, Javier Solana's brother, Luis Solana, who was a Spanish telephone tycoon, was the first socialist invited to join and to a socialist member of the Trilateral Commission.
And if you really, of course, study this very carefully, well, you'll see the strong occult ties. And, of course, you look at their logo and you look very closely, you'll see that it really depicts three arrows, but they're really, the inner border of them are three sixes bound together by an upside down.
And one more thing on Javier Solana, if I may. His mother, the one that he's trying to blur his relationship with, was an active disciple, a sannyasin of Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, otherwise known as Osho, the Indian guru, and who had said that Krishnamurti was completely suited to be their new Messiah, that nobody knew why it didn't happen, and that now another one was in place, and it's looking like the whole family had some very hefty all cult ties, and of course they don't know that people are looking at them carefully, so they're trying to downplay them, but they can't get rid of them completely because he has too much advantage to using the name Madariaga. He heads the Madariaga Foundation. And since Neves Matthews had two sons, which would have been Salvador de Madariaga's grandsons, it's very, very unlikely that he would have doted on a great uncle, a remote great nephew, and ignored his own real grandchildren.
Well, of course, it's there are many, many strange things happening out there. And if you try to look at it purely from a political or ideological or cultural point of view, so much of this just doesn't make sense. But when you look at it from a spiritual point of view and you realize that there really are, you know, secret societies, there have always been secret societies, but always bound together by a common secret, and that is there is another dimension, there's spiritual power in that other dimension, there is a force within that dimension that you can tap into and get great wealth and great prosperity and great fame, but of course at the cost of your eternal soul. For the truth of the matter is, we're engaged in a spiritual battle. And you can't understand the financial collapse that's taking place, of course, unless you understand the spiritual forces at work behind the scenes. Our guest this evening has been Constance Cumby, and you really want to get her, go to her website, get her information, I should say her blog site. You can listen to her programs, and we carry, we'll tell you a little bit later, the things we carry that Constance has put out. Well, Constance, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program, and you've got to get your book back in print. The
Aquarian. Well, that we have to do. I've had one nice conversation with Tom Horn, but we're going to have to talk.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us.
With the Lord. And if you've never read Corey Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place, we carry it for one purpose only, and that is to give you the courage and the understanding that will see you through what I believe are very difficult times that lie ahead. Now, if you'd like to get our four-tape set of my interviews with Constance on the background of what's going on, of course, they're called The Aquarian Conspiracy, the four-tape set, The Aquarian Conspiracy. We have a DVD with Constance called The Emergence. That's The Emergence. We recommend this to you. We think it's important that you put things into their proper perspective. Certainly we have The Influence in the Church. We have, of course, a four-tape set on the purpose-driven shirts, a DVD called Diaprac, Going into the Purpose-Driven Shirts. We have a four-tape set on the apostate church, because the church is under attack today. Why? Because the last thing they want is for the people to understand what's really going on, and they had to neutralize Christianity. They couldn't destroy it from without, so they're working, and working very effectively from within. In fact, they have even chosen the leader of the Christian church. I mean, certainly CBS will tell you, 60 Minutes will tell you who the leader of the Christian church is. It's Rick Warren. Time Magazine has named Rick Warren the leader of the Christian church. And yet, of course, both of these organizations hate Christianity. In fact, if you look at the screen with CBS is up there, you'll notice in the right lower quadrant that eye. Well, that's an ancient symbol of the ancient mystery religions. What's it doing on the television screen from CBS? CBS came out of the CIA, and the CIA is deeply involved with the occult. Now, we do carry another very interesting book. It's called Extraordinary Times, Extraordinary People. It is not in our regular catalog, and the reason it's not there is because we don't want to give people the idea that we approve of the material in it. It's for researchers, but it's in the research catalog, along with the writings of Albert Pike and of Manly P. Hall and other occultists. But of course, Wayne Peterson's book tells you about how he was recruited into this New Age movement. His personal meetings with Maitreya, of course, he goes into great detail about Gorbachev and his occult lifestyle, and the fact that there's an enclave in Henderson, Nevada, where people are coming from all over the world waiting for the reappearance of the Christ, who is going to appear and come to Henderson, Nevada. Sort of like a Strange Encounters of the Third Kind, that story of the UFO. And everybody went, of course, to where the UFO was going to come down so they could, of course, be taken up. And, well, that's what they're doing over in Henderson. These people are intelligent people. Remember, of course, Wayne Peterson headed the Fulbright Scholars, where, of course, your tax money was used to send young men off to Oxford University to be indoctrinated in the New World Order, the New World Religion, the New World Leader. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, all of these things are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We do hope that many of you will, Chris, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and read the newsletters that are available there, pull them down and copy them and distribute them. Many of them, of course, we put together in the form of pamphlets. Certainly, you can find the pamphlets that we have on the history of money, on Ron Paul. We've got a great one on the oil deception. You need, of course, to get the information, and then, of course, you need to help us get it out. People have to understand that behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces. If you haven't read my book yet, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to read it. And then, of course, you need to disseminate the CD, if I should say, the tape or the DVD. We give you our permission to just go ahead and copy that, get the information out. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, of course, for this next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish. And Barry's an Israeli patriot. He spent many years over in Israel writing about the corruption in the government, about the assassination of Rabin, the prime minister or premier of Israel. And then, of course, because of threats on his own life, he came to the United States. And, of course, he still has an influence in Israel through the miracle of the Internet and through the publications he gets out. But certainly we're fortunate to be able to have Barry with us on a regular basis to keep us abreast of what's happening in Israel, because what's happening in Israel is eventually down the line going to have a profound effect on what's really going on in the United States. And I fear it's not too far away. There's going to be another war in the Middle East. This is, after all, what you do when you want to get out of a financial crisis. You create a war. That way you get people back working, and you take their mind off of the fact that our leaders have intentionally created this whole financial debacle. Well, with that as a background, Barry, it's good to have you with us.
It's always good to be here.
All right, tell us what your take is on what's going on today over in Israel and throughout the world.
Yeah, well, I'll certainly dive into that shortly. I'm in the midst of researching a very important story. And how do you feel about Robert Bork?
Well, I happen to personally think he's a pretty good guy, but tell me what you think.
Well, he wrote a book. He's on the Supreme Court, I believe. No?
No, he wasn't. He was nominated for the Supreme Court, and they kept him from getting on because he said he believed in the Constitution as it was written. And that's how they came up with the name Borked, B-O-R-K-E-D. They borked him. They blocked his nomination for the Supreme Court, his appointment to the Supreme Court, because he was too conservative. He was pro-life. He was pro-traditional family values, and he believed in the Constitution as was written. Go ahead.
I remember him when he was the third man who got rid of Leon Jaworski, the special prosecutor against Nixon. So for me, he started off pretty badly. As you remember, Archibald Cox was first. I forget who was second. And Robert Bork, they both refused to sign the firing of the special prosecutor. Bork agreed to it. Nonetheless, he wrote a book called Coercing Virtue. Now, it's a book about the courts taking over democracies in the world. And he compares various countries. But the last country is Israel. He has done a marvelous job in explaining something that for years I never understood, is why the Supreme Court in Israel is running the country. And it is, in fact, running the country. And I've been warned about it, but I'm not a lawyer. And the practice of law I find a little bit irritating and quite boring. You just get a lawyer when you need one. But nonetheless, the Israeli Supreme Court runs the government. And it took Robert Bork to explain this to me, and it explains so much it explains why the Israeli government no longer functions since 1992. Now, I'm going to end with that, but let's start with the situation this week before we get to Robert Bork.
All right, fine. Certainly, I agree with it. Robert Bork never should have signed that directive to do away with the special prosecutor, but I think that we can give him at least that one mistake. Well, you go right ahead.
Well, Israel there was a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, and earlier this week it ran out. It ran for 6 months. It was a fiasco from Israel's point of view. It got slammed with rockets. Hamas doesn't know how to keep a ceasefire. But as soon as the ceasefire ended, Israel just got blasted. I mean blasted. I believe in the last week, 240 rockets and mortars landed on Israel. And some of them were getting really serious. At the Ashkelon power plant, two Qassams landed in the grounds, which we spoke about this previously, how vulnerable Ashkelon really is, and this time they were aiming at Ashkelon.
Now, I think you should explain to our listeners why that is significant, why that is important.
Well, Ashkelon is the third largest city in Israel. Fourth. Fourth largest city in Israel, and it's only 10 miles from Gaza. Now, the Qassams have ranges. Well, their ranges are 20 miles now, and they could blast Ashkelon. And Israel has sacrificed its southern cities. They simply will not defend their southern cities. That's the way it goes. They're religious and they're Moroccan, and that's not important to them. They can be rocketed, but Ashkelon's a different story. To terrorize an entire city of a quarter of a million people would require, really, the Israeli people would have reached the breaking point if Ashkelon got hit the way Sderot is being hit. And, well, this week Ashkelon got good and hit. I predicted they wouldn't dare, and I was wrong.
You're speaking, you thought the Hamas would not dare launch such a severe attack, and such a violent attack on the third or fourth largest Jewish city.
Well, I didn't. If they keep it up, I mean, two rockets fell by the Ashkelon power plant. Now, that's no fooling around. Half of Israel's electricity comes out of there. Hamas is playing an extremely dangerous game right now.
I mean, Kirsten, why don't the Israelis retaliate against that? Why don't
I'm going to get to that. And when I hit Robert Bork, we're going to get, there's an answer in there that you'll find possibly surprising, possibly not. But nonetheless, the only miracle is that in 240 rocket and mortar attacks on Israeli population centers, nobody has been killed.
All right, we'll go right ahead. Our guest is Barry Shamish. We're talking about the Christoph rocket attack that's taking place against Sydney, the fourth largest Israeli city. And the question is, why won't the Israelis retaliate against these rocket attacks from Hamas? And Barry's going to tell us at least his opinion of why Israel steadfastly refuses to do what is necessary to defend their country. Because when you show weakness to an enemy, of course, they're going to be more aggressive. And Israel's doing everything they can to release terrorists so they can go back and resume their violent and murderous attacks on the Israeli people. They've really released thousands of terrorists and got nothing in return. Why are the Israeli leaders doing everything they can to reinforce the terrorist ranks within Hamas and with the Fatah? But go ahead, tell the story.
Well, I'm just leading in with this week. Condoleezza Rice of the CFR, naturally, is going to go down in a flame of glory, she thinks. She's been given the notice to go to the UN and have the Security Council pass a resolution calling for a Palestinian state and forcing the current Israeli Prime Minister Olmert, forcing the world to accept whatever he signs, forcing the next Israeli government to carry on from whatever Olmert signs before he leaves office. Believe it or not, Bush is directing Secretary of State Rice to go to the United Nations and pass this resolution.
In other words, pass a resolution that says that Israel will have to follow whatever agreements are made now before Olmert, the disgraced Olmert, leaves office. He's totally disgraced because of his accepting all sorts of bribes and other things. So Olmert is going to be forced to sign things that will then commit the next democratically elected government of Israel to follow Olmert's lead. And, of course, the people will be voting Olmert out and probably voting Netanyahu in because they want to change. And yet, of course, George Bush is going to say, well, it doesn't matter what the Israeli people want. I have decided that, of course, whatever Olmert says, the next government will accept. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Yeah. Well, he's trying to get the world to back that. And I don't think that Netanyahu is any cleaner than Olmert. It won't make any difference to him. But the fact remains is that Israel has to accept a Palestinian state and anything Olmert signed before he leaves office. Now here is where the analysts and of Israel get being so ticked off sometime. They all, down to the last man, say that this is Bush trying to prepare his legacy. He's about to leave office and he wants to leave with a peace. Everyone says the same thing. Bush is trying to prepare his legacy. I think he is preparing his legacy. But it's not the way they think it's happening. I think that the destruction of Israel was part of something he was supposed to do, and he's leaving office before he quite did it. And he's leaving office making sure the car makers get another $50 billion. I don't even know what $1 billion is anymore. In other words, he's leaving the United States a shattered economy and Israel a shattered nation, and his legacy is exactly that, the destruction of Israel and probably the destruction of the American economy. That remains to be seen. But it's, this is the Bush legacy, not peace. And it's very irritating to hear the analysts all saying that Bush wants to leave with a peace treaty. But that's what they all say. Now, there's something when this ceasefire ended, all over Israel we were finally told the truth, that in the last 6 months Hamas has used the ceasefire to greatly improve their rockets. And the head of security, Ami Dichter, announced to the Israeli, the head of the Shabak, that is, announced to the Israeli people that Hamas's rockets have increased in range to 40 kilometers, and now the following cities will be given preparation for missile attacks. And by the way, these cities don't have public shelters. The apartments don't have shelters in them. There's no gas masks anywhere in the country. The following cities are now within the range of Hamas rockets: Beersheba, that's about 250,000 as well. Ashdod, another 150,000. Kiryat Malachi, another 20,000. Gedera, another 30,000. Yavna, another 30,000. It adds up to about 1 million Israelis are now under the threat of Hamas rocket attacks. That's what was announced. Now, here is the part. Now, as soon as Ashdod was hit this week, Israel announced that it was preparing an attack on Gaza. Like, if you're really going to do it, you're going to announce it. That's a really good war strategy. But apparently they took it seriously in Gaza because the Islamic Jihad announced that if Israel attacks Gaza militarily, the following cities that I just mentioned, the preceding cities that I just mentioned, will all be attacked with devastating rocket power. And Hamas probably has 20,000 rockets. But I add again, 240 rockets in the last week and no one was killed. I don't know if you should overestimate rockets, but those figures are incredible.
Okay, and I share your concern. I really do, and I think that this must be very demoralizing for the Israeli people.
Oh, they're on their their faces passed out. They're beyond demoralized. You can almost feel sorry for them, but a lot of it was brought on by their own behavior and so forth. But yeah, I mean, they're beyond demoralized.
Well, of course, the thing is that I'm sure they want to know why their government is not defending them, why the government refuses to take action against Hamas, why they don't simply just send their planes down and blast those areas where the rockets are coming from. They could zero in on them, you know, in about a minute and a half, and there could be a plane there shortly after, and of course, simply destroy that region.
Well, you know, we have the answer, and I'm going to start sliding into Robert Bork right now. A strange announcement came out of the Defense Ministry this week. The legal affairs advisor to the Defense Ministry set up a series of rules for a Gaza attack. In short, you can't hit any built-up areas. That's forbidden. The Army can't do that. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to Gaza. I'm sure probably not. I have. I served in the Army in Gaza. I know what Gaza looks like. The whole place is built up. I mean, no hitting built-up areas. I mean, the rockets are shot from built-up areas. The built-up areas are apartment blocks and their buildings and hospitals. Gaza is one giant metropolis, a megalopolis. There is no other way to attack Gaza. You have to hit the built-up areas. The Defense Ministry of Israel has determined that the Army is not allowed to hit the built-up areas, in effect stopping any military action. Now, there's a way around this, by the way. I suppose I saw this done in Lebanon. Before we hit every city or every neighborhood of every city, there was a really brave guy going around in a truck with a loudspeaker telling everybody to get out of their houses and go to a predestined area. And because there's going to be fighting here, and we don't want anyone hurt, you could do the same thing, Gaza. Tell them all to go to the beach for a day and do it that way. There are ways, I suppose, of not hitting built-up areas, but the Defense Ministry Legal Affairs Advisor advised the government, do not attack Gaza. Now, that's where we get into Bork, believe it or not. Bork wrote a book where he compared various governments where the courts are taking over the governments. Various countries, America and Canada, of course, but he saved the last chapter for the Supreme Court, the most corrupt court in the whole wide world, the court most determined to destroy a nation, and that is Israel's.
All right, so what did Justice Bork say about Israel?
He says, in short, now I'm just working on this now. You're catching me in mid-research, so I'm unpracticed with this, but I'm going to let you know what I've discovered so far.
All right,
remember the name Aharon Barak. He is the president of the Israeli Supreme Court.
All right.
And has been since 1992. In the year that Rabin was elected prime minister, Barak was handed to him as the new president of the Supreme Court. Now, what Barak did in 1992 is he took over the government. And how he did it is he passed two laws. They're called basic laws.
All right, fine. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Sammis, but talking about how the court exceeding its authority to become a legislative body. Go right ahead, Barry.
Well, this is beyond exceeding. This is just takeover.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Infrequently overturned by our Supreme Court. But, of course, supposedly they're only supposed to do this according to the Constitution. Unfortunately, you have the opinions of the members of the Supreme Court certainly supersede the Constitution, and they make up laws with nothing behind them. The wall of separation between church and state, the right of a woman to have an abortion. So many of the laws that they've created have no basis at all in law, but they are part of this move towards centralizing all power in Washington, D.C., and destroying the moral fabric of our society. And it would sound like the same similar things are going on over in Israel. In other words, it doesn't matter what the members of your legislature say, the Supreme Court is the supreme. Is that right?
I assure you, Justice Bork, thinks Israel is 1,000 times worse than the States. You're talking about phenomena that are occurring in both countries, but the Israeli Supreme Court has done what the American Supreme Court has not yet done, actually taken over the Congress. The Israeli Supreme Court has taken over the Knesset. Now, here's how it begins, and this is what this attorney was trying to tell me, and I just didn't understand it. Rabin opposed the second basic law. It was passed, by the way, when there were no members of the Knesset even voting. Nobody even realized that they were voting for a basic change of the whole law. They didn't even understand it. Rabin quickly opposed Aaron Barak. Now, the issue was there was a case brought to the civil court. And, by the way, I want to add one thing that Bork is very strong on. The basic law allows any citizen, whether he's at all involved, to sue a member of the Knesset because he doesn't like his politics. As strange as that may seem, that's what the basic law allowed, that you don't have to be personally liable, personally affected or injured. You can just sue because you don't like you think that a certain member of the Knesset acted criminally. You just go to the Supreme Court and you have them investigated. This was what the members of the Knesset passed. Now, there was, Rabin had just formed a parliament with a very, very crooked little religious party called Shas. Now, we know about Aryeh Deri, and if we don't, someday I'll talk about him again, but they got Shas on so many corrupt members of the Knesset. But one was Rafael Pinkasi, who was, after Deri, the head of Shas. And the Supreme Court had someone go to it and sue Pinkasi while you're sitting in the Knesset, you are immune from prosecution. That's the law in Israel. You can't be prosecuted as long as you're a member of the Knesset. Go figure out why, but that's a fact. Somebody brought the issue of Pinkasi to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court determined that Pinkasi, in fact, should lose his immunity. Rabin, on the other hand, had a major problem. He didn't have enough members to form a government without Shas, so he opposed the Supreme Court. Now, in Israel, there's only one person who argues to the Supreme Court for the Israeli government, and that is the Attorney General. The Attorney General, Eliakim Rubinstein, if it matters, said that he refused to argue Rabin's case against or to the Supreme Court. He agreed with the Supreme Court over the Prime Minister. And this Attorney General is the same as the states. This is a minor position compared to that of the President. It's just as minor in Israel compared to that of the Prime Minister. The Attorney General doesn't even sit in the cabinet. But Attorney General Rubinstein said no, he will not argue for Rabin's case. He agrees personally with the Supreme Court's decision to undo his immunity. And with that act, the Supreme Court determined that they were right because the government didn't oppose it. And with that act, the Attorney General became more powerful than the Prime Minister.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Barry Shamish to continue talking about the government in Israel. All right, Barry, you're telling us about how, of course, the Supreme Court and really became more powerful than the government of Israel itself. So pick up the story there. And, of course, apparently a lot of this comes out of a book written by Robert Bork. where he's trying to, of course, to decry the judicial supremacy. So go right ahead.
As Bork writes, in 1992, with the Attorney General backing the Supreme Court over its own government, the Attorney General took over a role stronger than the Prime Minister. He took over the government. He could overturn laws just by ruling that the government will not fight the Supreme Court on anything. It's that simple. The government had no representative in the Supreme Court if the Attorney General wasn't going to support the government. Are we following this, or is it a bit obscure?
No, not at all. I'm getting exactly. It's very obvious to me that the Knesset, of course, could rise up tomorrow and just say, we're not going to put up with this anymore. But, of course, they don't have the courage to do it.
No, they couldn't do it. The Supreme Court would shut them down.
Well, of course, the thing is that here, at least here in the United States, our Supreme Court can shut down the Supreme our legislature can shut down the Supreme Court tomorrow. They can just hold up their pay and do away with them. But obviously, you do not have the checks and balances in Israel that we have here.
No, there are no checks and balances. In 1992, Barack, with his basic law, determined that the Supreme Court will decide on military actions. That's what happens. That the government no longer will decide if there are wars or how they're fought. The Supreme Court will decide this. This is what the members of Knesset, all 50 of them out of 120, determined. They voted for a constitution and didn't even know they were voting to change the entire government, the way of doing business in Israel. Now, what we're dealing with is a reason why we're being, well, a reason why this attorney suspected that Rabin was knocked off by Barack. He said nothing can be done in this country without Chief Justice Aaron Barak. He said nothing. And he says no murder at that high a level could have taken place without the real ruler of Israel, and that's Aaron Barak. And I tried listening to him, but I didn't have evidence.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Barry Shemesh. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry was simply saying that the Christian... He was told, you know, shortly after the assassination of Rabin that the man who was behind it was Barak, who is, of course, the head of the Supreme Court, and that suddenly that they never could have gotten away with the murder of the president of Israel, the premier of Israel, had it not been for the complicity of the head of the Supreme Court. In a similar manner, remember back in 1963 when President Kennedy was shot, they have a commission set up. Who is going to head the commission to find out who was responsible for the assassination? Why, the head of the United States Supreme Court, Earl Warren, and they ran a total cover-up to the point to cover up the fact that he was assassinated with the complicity of the FBI and the CIA, and certainly President Nixon and President-to-be Nixon, but certainly the Vice President at that time, Lyndon Johnson. So the Supreme Court Justice Earl Warren covered up the truth about what happened, and I'm sure just in the same way that Barak and Israel covered up the truth about the assassination of Rabin. Go ahead.
Well, the Supreme Court changed in 1992 again. Anyone could go there the next day with a complaint. You didn't have to appeal, lose a case in a circuit court and then go to a county court and until you got to the Supreme Court. You could make an appointment, an emergency, you could ask for an emergency meeting. Within hours, you would get it. Now, I'll give you an example of a pretty good example, actually, of what this means. During the Gaza evacuation, just before the evacuation, about 100,000 people came to the town of Sderot. That's the one being bombed and rocketed now. We were supposedly going to drive to Gaza and save the community and whatever else, except we got in our cars and all the roads were blocked. Everyone was backed. Hello?
Go right ahead.
Right. Everyone was backed up for miles. And we park our car. I'm with friends of mine, good friends, Jerry and Iris, and we parked our cars. We asked around, and the police were about, half a mile ahead of us. And I got out of the car, and I said to my friends, well, this is it. We're going to confront the police. Now, better or worse, just get ready. It could be real messy. And Iris wanted it, and Jerry was worried about the effect it would have on his job. But as we were walking, the leaders, the organizers of the protest shouted, there's a meeting with the Supreme Court. Go back to your cars. We're not going to confront the police. And I said to my friend Iris, let's go home. I said, if the Supreme Court is involved in this, they'll delay it, and then they'll give a guaranteed ruling against the protests. I said, let's go home. These people are nuts. They're actually, instead of protesting, going to the Supreme Court, and that's no protest. Now, the key to this is the amount of trust Israelis have in the Supreme Court. I beat my people to the punch by a long time because of the Rabin assassination and the Supreme Court's interference with getting to the bottom of that. But there were still a lot of people who thought that the Supreme Court would rule and they'd be on their behalf and there was no point in confronting the police. Well, of course, the Supreme Court did not rule in their behalf, but at least I was at home and I wasn't going to be another sucker. The fact remains that was then, and a mere 3 years ago, every year there's a survey of who Israelis trust, and let me tell you, almost everyone has gone drastically downhill, but the Supreme Court of Israel, the ruling body of the country, is trusted by fewer than 40% of the Israeli people. All right? I mean, your Supreme Court is trusted probably by 95% of Americans, one way or another.
Well, I said, go right ahead. I would not be that forceful in my appraisal, but go right ahead.
Would you say it's 44%, less than 40%?
Well, no, I think it would probably be more than 50%, but it wouldn't be quite that high. I think a lot of people have a serious question about our Supreme Court. Now, a lot of people think that since George Bush was in, and he got in, of course, Justice Roberts and Alito, that things are going to be better, but I can assure you they're not. These men were put there for a purpose, and they may say one thing, but look and see very carefully what they're voting for. These are men who voted in favor of torture, you know, and torture is perfectly all right as long as the president said. They seem to want to increase the power of the federal government over every aspect of our lives, and these are conservatives. Go right ahead.
Well, no, your Supreme Court is all Catholic. For whatever reason, all the men are Catholic on it.
Isn't that a strange coincidence? I mean, if they'd all been Jewish, why there'd been a tremendous outcry? If they'd all been Protestants, there'd be a tremendous outcry.
All your lady judges are Jewish.
What?
All your lady judges are Jewish.
Right.
On the Supreme Court.
Go ahead.
There's one of them. Oh my goodness, what's her name?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Right.
Right. But she's only one.
Jewish, and all the men are Catholic.
Right.
All right. That seems fair. All right. Back to Israel.
Well, I would not want to claim Ruth Bader Ginsburg as a fellow religionist if I were you.
Well, you have to deal with the worst and you have to deal with the best. You're just stuck with that kind of stuff. I don't deny anything. Now, before we get lost, Aaron Barak has arranged things that the Supreme Court decides when the military can operate and how the military can operate. Now, this is whatever demerits you may have with your Supreme Court, they can't do that. All right?
All right, go ahead.
Now, it gets a little serious. Barack writes that when Jewish values conflict with democracy, a decision will be made by the enlightened community in Israel. That's a direct quote. When Jewish values conflict with democracy, a decision will be made by the enlightened community in Israel.
And the enlightened,
enlightened community in Israel?
And the enlightened community is the Supreme Court?
No. The enlightened community, well, certainly the Supreme Court represents them and no one else.
Okay, go ahead.
The enlightened community, that, look, in Hebrew, the Illuminati is the enlightened community. It's a direct translation.
Okay.
What he's saying is that you can't have Jewish values in Israel. It's that simple. He says over and over, our laws are based on Judaism and democracy. And when you have an issue that Judaism doesn't satisfy democracy, well, then it'll be taken over by the enlightened community in Israel. All 7% of them who just happen to be your academics and your media stars will make the decision for you. And that's exactly what's been happening in Israel. Now, during the Gush Katif pullouts, I just mentioned my teeny little experience. We have to remember, well, that Livni, Tzipi Livni, was the Justice Minister of Israel, while Sharon was uprooting the communities. Now, again, in this upcoming article, as I talk to you, I'm essentially ordering the article. I haven't begun to write it yet, but the Justice Minister is chosen by Aaron Barak, by the President of the Supreme Court. He's got a little council. It's him and a couple of other Supreme Court members and a couple of members of the Bar Association and a couple of cabinet ministers. They decide who the Justice Minister is. In other words, Tzipi Livni was working for Aaron Barak, and he certainly wanted the Jews out of Gaza. Now, remember, Livni takes over from Olmert if Kadima wins. Livni was the one who ordered the children of Gush, anyone protesting, anyone trying to protect their homes, to be put into camps. And they stayed in these camps for months on end, 13, 14-year-old, mostly girls. She had the parents indicted because their children were caught protesting. All of this was done through the Justice Ministry, and the Supreme Court didn't back the forgiveness or pardon of even one. Right now, there's probably about the last time I heard, there were 400 teenage, mostly girls, awaiting trial because of Livni, because of Barak, because of the judicial system in Israel. It's gone haywire.
And why don't the people do something about it? Why don't they organize and just get rid of all these corrupt people out of political office and set up a government that represents the goals and purposes of the Israeli people rather than us in an extension of what's going on here in the United States, and the Council on Foreign Relations dictates to Olmert and Barak and Perez and the others.
Well, why don't you do that here?
I asked you first.
If I had my way, I'd just pick up the phone and I'd say, would you mind starting the revolution? I can't be there, but I'll come by later. It's, look,
I know. I know it's pie in the sky, and I know your frustration, and I wish we could do it here. But our job is to at least let people understand what's going on. You have the same problems in Israel of corruption at the highest levels that we have here, and it's all controlled not only by the same political, but in my estimation, the same spiritual forces. So go right ahead, Barry.
I mean, I don't think you understand how my point of view is so isolated. How few people. Look, what I've got to do, and I've realized this for years, I'm not going to be cited by Jewish writers. And what I've got to do is just keep telling the truth and chip away. People, they steal my ideas constantly, never endingly, without giving me proper credit. So I'm stuck with that role in life. It could be worse. I'm not starving.
Well, just remember, Barry, of course, when they steal your ideas, that's really a great tribute to you. It means that they think your ideas are so great. People do that all the time with me. I don't care about it at all. Because this has nothing to do with me. It has to do with an idea. And it's your ideas that are important. So be glad that they feel they're significant enough that they do steal them from you.
Yes, I'm very pleased about that. look, we're talking about... we were briefly about Shamgar. The commissions of inquiry into the Rabin murder was from the Supreme Court. The situation in Israel is so scary for the Knesset that the members of the Knesset themselves are afraid to pass laws that the Attorney General would abrogate. They don't have the freedom to even pass laws anymore because you have an Attorney General who will say, I can't defend this law, and it won't pass. If you try and imagine that state of being. The Attorney General represents the government in a court of law, and only the Attorney General. He's got the nerve to say, I don't believe the government is right. I won't defend the government. And then the law is dead in the water. Anything that comes before the Supreme Court, the Attorney General, if it's against the government, the Attorney General has to defend the government.
Well, don't feel bad. Here in California, of course, the people voted for Proposition 8, whereupon the Attorney General said, I don't believe in Proposition 8, and the Supreme Court should overthrow it. His job is to defend the laws as they're duly passed by the people, and this was won by a majority, and the Attorney General independently, of course, Jerry Brown, who's very single, and many people have thought for many years he was homosexual, you know, says, well, I'm just talking to defend.
Oh, no, Ron's boyfriend.
Yeah, well, of course, you can be bisexual, but I'll tell you, Barry, Jerry Brown has a very, very checkered past, but go right ahead.
He did what... Well, did he get fired?
No, of course not. He's the state attorney general. He's the attorney general of the state of California. He said, I don't care what the people did. I want the Supreme Court to overthrow what the people just voted for. That's Jerry Brown, and he ought to be, of course, impeached for that. But go ahead.
Oh, no, that's a little different. At least he's saying it's got to go to the Supreme Court and let them rule. In Israel, the Supreme Court... goes to the government and says, you can't do this. If the Attorney General says, I won't defend the government, that's it. The law is dead. It's over. It's finished. It's illegal. The only legal institution in Israel is the Supreme Court. The Knesset isn't by judicial standards legal. Only the Supreme Court can determine legality, and it's reached the point. Look, I don't want to go through all the moral issues, but this is a Supreme Court that is deeply anti-religious.
Look, I'm sure that it is. This is our Supreme Court is deeply anti-religious, but they can't let the American people know that, but that's why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools, because the people on the Supreme Court hated God, and of course we've got supposedly all these Catholics on there. Why don't they negate what has already been done? And they're not about to do that for whatever reason. Barry, before we go on, we ought to get your website out and tell people how they can get your books, how they can get your DVDs.
Okay, why not? The books, you go to lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com, and you type in my name. It says search, little box there, and my name is C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's Chamish. I'll do it again, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. I would recommend Bye Bye Gaza for the latest information, but they're all good. My website is BarryChamish.com, www.BarryChamish.com. I just got back from a very successful speaking engagement in Omaha. Oops, I hear music.
You do, but go right ahead. You really got a pretty good turnout there in Omaha?
Considering the weather, it was quite good.
All right, good. Well, our guest has been Barry Chamish. We're going to be wrapping up this program in just a moment right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Barry.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Of what's going on, but of course behind all of this, behind the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, are the powerful spiritual forces that energize them, which is why, of course, the emblem of the Trilateral Commission, you go to their website, you look at their logo very carefully, you'll see three sixes, but you look at the inner part of the sixes, you can almost imagine, inner part of the three arrows there, but they are, you can imagine that you see a six, and then, of course, you certainly will find them bound together in the middle by an upside-down broken cross. That is the logo of the Trilateral Commission, which was created by Zygmunt Brzezinski, at the behest of David Rockefeller and, of course, Zygmunt Brzezinski, who created the Trilateral Commission as behind-the-scenes advisor to the President of the United States-elect Barack Obama. In fact, if you look at the people who surround him, all of them come, you know, the key positions, whether it be the National Security Advisor, James Johnson, General Johnson, comes from the Trilateral Commission, or Timothy Geithner, the Secretary of the Treasury, or certainly the Paul Volcker, his personal advisor, financial advisor to the new president. He is the honorary chairman of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. They are the people who surround, you know, Barack Obama and will be dictating foreign policy, just like they were, of course, in the Bush administration and the Clinton administration before that, and the Bush administration before that, and the Reagan administration before that, and the Carter administration before that. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. And then you need to get other copies and hand them out. You're welcome to get the DVD and then, of course, make copies of it and hand them out with my blessing. As long as you're not selling them, we can get you a tape on the talk. It will give you insight into the truly satanic forces which energize what's going on today. Let me suggest the DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, and the Riddles in Stone. They're very professionally done, and they will tell you about the occult movement that dominates America and has all along. Certainly, we hope many of you will want to get my talk on the Forbidden Secret. You'll want to get the 4-tape set on satanic crimes. You'll want to get the 4-tape set on the supernatural. And, of course, the book that goes with that, The Beautiful Side of Evil. If you'd like to hear the talk that Joanna Michelson gave at our last conference, that was on October 26th, it's available now. You can get that by itself, or you can get the 4-tape set, of course, called The Supernatural, where Joanna records two of her radio interviews. But, of course, the talks, if you'd like to get all of the talks given at the conference, they are available today, together or individually. We want you to get the information. We want you to get it out across America. And anything we have produced, you have our permission to copy and to disseminate on your own. You can help us to get the information out. You're going to have to do it. And people are going to begin to listen. They're going to begin to listen. Why? Because everybody is being hurt. Everybody is losing money. Most people are losing money in the stock market. Many people are wondering, of course, what's going to happen. The mortgage on my house is higher than the value of the home. A 1 in 5 mortgage homes today is underwater, and the home mortgage is higher than the value of the home, and it's going to get worse. This is not going to end tomorrow, not going to end next year, not going to end the year after that. It's going to be around for a long time because it's being...